This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker. This is the Michael K. Show.
Now your entire purpose in life is to make me happy? You know what? Then say something negative about Michael K. That'll make me happy.
No, I'm not going to jeopardize that friendship to make you happy.
I'm going to jeopardize that.
I don't think that's really going to make you happy. That's not what you want.
It would. For you to just take a jab at Michael K., you do it with everybody else, not kill him.
You don't know what our conversations are like privately. How do you know I don't criticize him?
Yeah, but I know you don't have any problem criticizing anybody else publicly. It's just with Michael K., you won't do it.
Is there a
You'll deflect.
No, that's just it's the level of the relationship. It's just, I can't explain it.
We couldn't
it.
Possibly special. Understand it, huh?
No, it's a different level.
Apparently he declared war on, I don't know, it was me or the show yesterday.
Probably you. I mean, he doesn't love you. I don't think he respects you, and I think he thinks you're a bad guy.
I'm a bad guy. He has a laminated list of people he hates.
The Michael K. Show.
I don't want to end up on that laminated list like you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know, my mom used to have a phrase for a guy like Rothenberg, a stubborn mule. A jealous mule. That's what he is. He's
a
jealous mule.
Stubborn mule.
Yeah. Now, you know a guy is big, Peter, when they're a guest on your show. And not only are they a guest, but they are sponsored. The Rick DiPietro Islander Preview is brought to you by Coors Light.
Wow.
Coors Light, made to chill. Here he is, one of my best friends in the world.
Wow.
You can hear him on DCR in the morning with Chris Canty and someone else from 5 to 8. It's Rick DiPietro. Rick, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Does it bother you as much as it bothers me that people want to get in our business?
At first it did, Michael, it did. But then the more I realize, the more I'm starting to understand it. I think of Dave, especially Dave. I just think he's jealous because he doesn't have what we have. And I think, you know, people asking us those questions, those are the same people asking Dave those very questions about him and Sherry's relationship. I don't get it. You don't get it, but clearly, you know, Sherry sees something that we don't. Like, I'm not sitting here questioning Don's love of acid and meth. Like, I don't, because I've never experienced before.
That's right.
But, hey, that's his business, and we
You've
stay
never
out of
experienced
that.
Acid, Rick? I find that surprising.
Never, Peter. Not one single time.
Really?
Not one time.
Guy's an athlete.
Yes.
His body is a temple. What's wrong with you?
No, there are a lot of athletes. There are a lot of athletes who are down to trip every blue moon. I've heard of
but
it.
But not this one. Not, you don't get to be the number one pick in the draft by tripping on acid.
That's right.
Never one time, Peter. Never one time. There's other questions I'd like to ask, too. Like, how does Chris Garland get his fingers in a bowling ball? I don't know, but he does.
You know what?
And when he does, he bowls perfect games.
Rick's hot. Supposedly. He's out of a cannon today.
Wow. One quick thing, just to deviate from a moment. Bad news for the Tampa Bay Rays. Tyler Glasnow's MRI this morning revealed a partial UCL tear as well as a flexor strain. So that is not good news for them. He's their best pitcher, and they lead the Yankees by 8.5 games, but that is a blow to that team. All right, let's talk about the Islanders, Rick, and we'll get back to our relationship later. But that was a big win in Game 1 because it's so different than what they did last year. Game 1, they got wiped out, and they were tired. They made that trip, but now they got rid of their previous opponent in due time, and they look like a team that can knock off Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think it's a different team, too. You know, this is a team that's actually whole going into the series, too. You know, last year, they're dealing with some injuries. You had Cizikas, which is a huge loss. Pelech, which is a huge loss. I mean, the two players right there. I mean, Cizikas, that identity line is, from my money, I mean, what they bring to the table, one of the most important lines in hockey. It really is. And then, you know, Pelech and Pulak. I mean, it's you're splitting hairs, but as far as, you know, lockdown, shutdown defensive pairs right now, I mean, there's those two are as good as it gets. So those are big, huge pieces headed into this series. And I think, I mean, to be honest, when you watch that, you know, that first game, I think the Islanders caught Tampa sleeping a little bit. I do. I don't know if it was overconfidence or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, the Islanders came out and second half of that first period, they carried the play and then were able to finish the deal. And like you mentioned, that's in this series on the road to steal back, you know, home ice advantage in the first game was humongous for them.
Yeah, it bothered me, the narrative throughout the game from Olchek and Boucher of, you know, what's wrong with Tampa? Isn't that what the Islanders do? They make you look bad. They make you incomplete passes. They make you force the issue. So maybe they were slightly out of sync, possibly, and I wouldn't say that was the best game they ever played, but isn't that exactly what the Islanders are trying to do? Make the Lightning look that way?
Yeah, they make you uncomfortable. I think part of what they meant is when you play the New York Islanders, you have to make a decision, right? If, you know, Tampa is one of the most skilled teams in the NHL. If you've watched them play, I mean, you see, you get a chance to watch them on that power play. I mean, they're clicking at over 40%. You saw it at the end of the game. Like, they have a ton of talent. And they want to, you know, play a game where they can show off that talent. It's, you know, going cross ice, getting chances off the rush. The Islanders aren't going to allow you to do that. And, you know, a guy like Stamkos, I mean, he fell for it early. I mean, with that first goal, that Barzal goal, is he gets to the Islanders' blue line, and rather than, you know, make the play that the Islanders, you know, are going to let you make, which is, okay, ship the puck in, and then all right, come get it. He's like, no, I'm gonna show off my talent. I'm going to take this puck, and I'm going to try to make a you know, cute pass across the ice. And then, I mean, that's the last thing you want to do with this Islanders team, because they capitalize on that. Barzal scores that goal, which I thought was huge. Don, you know this. This Islanders team, when they score the first goal, is a much different team than when they're chasing. And they're able to sit back and play their style of play, and it ain't easy physically to play this Islanders team.
I'm fascinated, Rick, and we're talking with Rick DiPietro on the Michael Kay Show, by Lou Lamoriello and how wherever he goes, success follows him. And I'm sure that's not a coincidence. And, you know, when you were with the Islanders, there was a lot of dysfunction in the front office and ownership. This seems like it's rock solid. What does a guy like Lou Lamoriello bring to an organization?
It's kind of like, you know, reminiscent of what Ryan Hurley brings, you know, that level of, you know, accountability. You know, he's going to hold everyone accountable. And you know how it is, and that trickles downhill. But Lou is from top to bottom. And this isn't just, you know, coaches and players. This is people that actually, you know, work in the pro shop at the rink that cut the ice. Like, he knows what's going on everywhere, has his hands in everything. And people want to make sure that they're doing the right thing, because they know if they don't, that Lou's going to hold them accountable. And everything, I think, starts with him. And then throw on top of the fact that, and I can't answer this question to this day, I don't know what happened, that Washington somehow made the mistake of letting go of Barry Trotz.
And also, this can only happen in hockey, right? We talk about, like, what can Boone do when the Yankees are running themselves out of innings, or what can Nash do if there's some sort of dysfunction on the court? You know, Steven Stamkos got benched after that play that led to the Barzal goal. So it has to be a certain level of coach and general manager and structure to be able to get away with that. Or is that just kind of built into the hockey player where you're allowed to do that, and in other sports you might not be able to get away with it?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's from, you know, team to team, franchise to franchise. I think that, you know, like I mentioned, it's, you know, Lou comes in with, you know, championships, maybe one of the best to ever do it, and guys understand that. I'll never forget when he was hired, you know, I spoke to a couple of those guys that are still on the team, and they were nervous. They're like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, now all of a sudden I can't have facial hair. Like, you know, am I in good enough shape? Am I going to get cut? Am I going to get traded? Like, I don't know. So, like, their antennas, you know, immediately go right up, and then Lou empowers the coaching staff to make the decisions that they need to make. And, you know, it's one of those situations where, I think in any sport, you get away with as much as the coach allows you to get away with. And you saw, you know, a team that's coming off winning a Stanley Cup, you know, their captain, one of the best players in the league, makes a bad decision, you know, passing through the middle of the ice that ends up in the net. And, you know, what better way to show everyone else that's unacceptable than to sit him on the bench?
And John Cooper is on that same level, right? I mean, he's on a Barry level. He's won a cup. They've been consistently in the conference final. I mean, people sometimes forget how good a coach he is.
No, he's a really good coach, and that's a really good coaching staff. And I think, you know, the ability to have, you know, someone as good as Steven Stamkos take his medicine, and then, you know, once he's called upon, you saw it, he's benched, he's not playing, and all of a sudden they jump on the power play, and Steven Stamkos is back on the ice. Like, it all works in concert. You know, it's GM to coach. Now all of a sudden your coach identifies, you know, the leaders on that team, your best players, and if they buy in, then it allows the coach to, you know, make decisions like John Cooper made, and, you know, the team follows suit.
All right, so, Rick, it's certainly not over. The Lightning is an excellent team. They're the defending cup champions. Why are they 11-0 following playoff losses since they were swept in the first round in 19? And they're 3-0 this postseason. What kicks in? What makes them so resilient?
Well, I think part of – you know, Donnie, I know you didn't love the fact that, you know, they spent a lot of time talking about how, you know, it didn't seem like, you know, the Tampa Lightning team that we're used to seeing. It's because, you know, when they make that decision that, okay, all right, you know what I mean, enough is enough, we're going to, you know, do all those little things that's going to make us successful. When you have that mindset kick in and you have the amount of talent that Tampa has, I mean, you have one of the best, if not the best defenseman on your team. You definitely, in my opinion, have the best goalie in the NHL on your team. And then your high-end talent up front with Kucherov and Point and Stamkos, like, you know, talent-wise with their depth, it's some of the best in the league.
And the thing that scares me, Rick, for the Islanders is just the fact that you played structurally as good a game as you can play, and yet you're holding your breath at the end of the game with the goaltender pulled for them to possibly tie it. How can the Islanders do this and generate a little bit more offense?
See, that was my first thought, Donnie, is because my house is in disarray right now, because, you know, my wife is from Tampa, and her dad has had, you know, Lightning season tickets from the time they were playing at the Trop. So, you know, I'm getting, you know, pictures of them in Lightning gear. I got the Tampa Bay Lightning onesies coming for Rocco, and, you know, T-shirts coming from Milo and Ella. So, you know, going back and forth the entire game. And I said to him, I said, what would concern me a little bit now is you played as good as you could possibly play in that game, and the Islanders played great. And they did generate for them, I thought, I mean, the power play wasn't good like it's been. But, I mean, Palmieri had some really good chances. Like, they had really good chances. And because Vasilevsky is so good, it's only a 2-1 game. And let's be honest, I mean, how many times have you seen Andrei Vasilevsky let a bad goal like he let in? I mean, that's not a good – that Pulak goal was not a good goal. But, I mean, it was enough to get the Islanders the win.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rick, how much are you invested in this because of, you know, your career with the Islanders? How much do you want them to win? I mean, how much do you live and die with them?
I'm fully invested. I really am. I still have, you know, a couple guys that I played with on that team. And, you know, kind of, you know, being on Long Island since I was drafted, you know, I see how much Islanders fans want it. And you see, I mean, you guys seen the videos of Borelli's, and you got a couple hundred people going crazy. Like, this is... It's been a while. I mean, this, you're talking about, you know, that Stanley Cup run, you're talking about one of the greatest runs in the history of professional sports. And then to go from that to where, you know, my time here and years before that and leading up to this, it hasn't been good. So to have this kind of consistency where all of a sudden your team is, you know, back-to-back in the Final Four, the semifinals, is huge. And, I mean, especially just to have a fraud like Rothenberg, who grew up, you know, 5 minutes away from the Coliseum, turn into a Rangers fan, to have a Stanley Cup to rub in his face would be awesome.
He's just a bad dude. I mean, you realize, I know you work with him, but he's just a bad guy. He just is.
You know what? One question for you, Rick. If the Islanders win, will you get wasted at the parade and sing Gloria?
No, I don't know about Gloria. I mean, I'm definitely, yeah, we're talking probably half naked, definitely wasted.
I mean, this, I like, you know,
we went through years. Could you think about this? Yeah, I'd send pictures to Michael. He'll probably be with me, actually. He'd drink out of the cup with me. I mean, we run through Peter's team in the Penguins, make quick work of them, and then all of a sudden, you know, we end up with the Stanley Cup. Oh, God, Dave, I mean, between you and Dave, it would be, I don't know if there's anything better.
Watching playoff hockey, Rick, serious question, do you miss it more because of the way your career ended?
I miss it I miss playing every single day, and especially now. I mean, that was really, you know, the reason why I tried to sign, you know, that long-term deal with the Islanders, because I felt like, you know, at some point, as bad as it had been, at some point, you know, they would, you know, we get John Tavares, like, we continue to build. I mean, you see Josh Bailey still on the team, Matt Martin's still on the team, Casey Zizekas still on the team, that, you know, eventually we'd get to the point where, you know, I'd be a part of a team like this. And, you know, it's exciting for them, but I mean, there's a piece of me that always wonders, you know, what would happen if, you know, you were on a team where, you know, you had a coach like Barry Trotz and, you know, Lou had stepped in and done what he had done. So I'm really happy for all those guys.
Let's talk about your Mets. How excited are you about the Mets?
It's got to be as painful as it is to watch the Yankees, because, I mean, that's, I mean, Michael, you watch it every single day. I mean, they're not a fun group to watch play baseball. You could say the exact opposite about the New York Mets with what they've been able to do with the amount of injuries to key players that they've had. I mean, how good DeGrom has been, how Stroman's been, you know, Taijuan Walker. Like, they're just finding ways, getting contributions from all over the place. I think it's a pretty remarkable story for them to be in first place right now with everything that they dealt with.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, and Met fans actually complain. I don't get what the complaint is. They have four-game lead, actually 7 games in the loss column over the Phillies. I mean, it's pretty extraordinary.
No, it's amazing. You know what the best part is, too? And I know people have been, I mean, you know, $341 million is a lot of money, and he hasn't, you know, offensively lived up to his end of the bargain. But, I mean, don't you feel like one of the missing things with the Yankees is a personality like a Francisco Lindor that, you know, every day has that joy he brings to the field, has a smile on his face, has, you know, that athleticism where he can, you know, play great defense and steal bases. I just think a guy like that attitude, it catches on through the locker room, and you got Pete Alonso, that same kind of, you know, bubbly, upbeat personality that, as a fan, like, it looks, I watch them and I look like they, it looks like they're having fun playing, and, you know, it makes me want to tune in.
I'll tell you, Friday night was special. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. To get like 30,000 people in the building, DeGrom pitching well, getting timely hitting, like that, it just felt really good. It felt like something that we hadn't seen in so long, and something's happening here. Like that, you're not old enough to remember, but like when Gooden would pitch, like it was that level. Never mind Harvey, like Gooden, like as big a building as you can have for during the pandemic. To beat a good Padre team, that was energy I haven't felt from that team in a long time.
Donnie, what was amazing about that game, too, is you find out afterward that Jacob DeGrom didn't even feel right. Like, he was dealing with something in his elbow, and he still goes out there and gives you 6 dominant innings. Oh, yeah, by the way, he's going to chip in offensively. I mean, it's as good as, let's face it, all right, Shohei Ohtani with what he's doing, you know, pitching and hitting. I mean, he looks like they built him in a lab. Like, he's must-see television. The best player in baseball right now is Jacob DeGrom. Do we agree on that?
Certainly
he's the best pitcher, for sure.
Yeah.
But even what he does offensively, like I watch him every single day. Like,
it's true.
He's probably the Mets' best. I mean, he's one of the Mets' best athletes.
Well, that's why MVP's on the table for him, right? Because of the fact that he contributes other than what he does when he pitches. But like Michael alluded to it too, like Met fans are always waiting for the shoe to drop and that great feeling on Friday, and then you find out he left the game early and you're thinking, oh, it doesn't seem to matter, because then they bounce back and they just continue to win. Like, the bad things are happening, Rick, but the winning continues. Usually the bad things happen and then they start to lose. Lindor's not hitting, but they win. DeGrom's been hurt, but they win. 11 guys on the IL, they still win. So that's the story to me. Forget about the other shoe dropping. It's dropping, but the team's too good to let it affect them.
They're not even noticing it, Don. They're not even noticing. Because you're not just talking about injuries. Like, teams deal with injuries, and we've had Yankees teams that have dealt with injuries. You're talking about no Conforto, no McNeil, no J.D. Davis. Like, you go up and down the list, and you start looking at some of the names that on a nightly basis are contributing. How good Pilar's been. How good VR's been. Last night, you got Drury chips in. You got, you know, Billy McKinney chipping in. Like, up and down the board. I mean, it really is. I don't think we're overstating it. Like, what they're doing right now and how they're winning games, especially recently against good teams, I mean, it's special. And what that top three in the rotation between Stroman, Walker, and DeGrom has been doing so far, I don't know right now if there's those top three, like, of any rotation in baseball, if there's a better top three right now than those three.
That is Rick DiPietro. You can hear him on DCR in the morning from 5 to 8 right here on 98.7 ESPN. Please give Cassie a kiss for me and hug the three kids. Tell him Uncle Michael says hello.
No, you do the same. I look forward to seeing you, Michael.
All right, be good.
Beautiful.
That's the great Rick DiPietro. And you wonder. How do you wonder? He's just such an extraordinary guy. Everything about him.
He does seem like a great guy.
He is a great guy. Carries that show. Now that I see Canty and Rothenberg turning against me.
Hold on, he
joins in. You'll never criticize Michael K. And I love Chris. I've had Chris over my home. I love him. But when he starts to turn against me, I don't know what to do.
But you turned against Dave first. That's how this all started.
No. Dave turned against me, and then I turned against him. Dave's been questioning me and Rick for the longest time because he can't accept it.
No, I don't think it's been hurtful. It's just because it's not acceptable.
Why is it not acceptable? Well, who is he?
Let's not do this.
Why
again.
Is he arbiter of acceptable?
But he's not jealous, and he's not going after you.
Oh, he is.
I don't know why you're so mean to him. You're wrong on this one. No, Dave's a salt of the earth guy. Do anything for you. No. You just want everybody to worship you. You know what? I'm not going to do it. And neither's Dave. Peter, it's up to him.
And I still want you to outsell me when you write your book. Because that's how I care about you. You don't feel the same way?
I think you want me to do well, but you'll openly weep if I ever surpass.
And
Peter, let's be honest. He's saying this because he knows there's no way it can happen.
Right.
Of course it could happen. People listen.
No, they like me, but you think I'm doing 40 minutes with Russo?
Yeah, Russo loves
you. You think Rich Eisen's going to have me on a show?
I haven't been on Rich's show yet.
You will be.
I don't know. Yeah, he would.
No, he wouldn't. Sorry, Don.
No, I'm saying it. You know what I'm going to get? Larry would put me on that Sunday show, that Meet the Press show he has every Sunday.
That's nice.
To fulfill the PSA obligation. What's it called, Anthony?
Meet the Press.
New York Sports and Beyond. I'm the Beyond part.
All right.
You know, I'll do that. I think my brother would probably put me on Busted Open.
Yeah.
I'd get on there.
By the way, bad sign that you said my brother probably would put me on. Can't
well, it
sure
depends. I mean, he's not going to, you know, if it's too close to April, he's not going to put me on during WrestleMania.
Well, that's a great point.
But you'll have lists that involve wrestling so that you bring in that audience. It's perfect. You'll do very well.
No, but I know, but you're going to do better.
That's not true. I have no idea. I have no
There's
idea.
There's not
how the
one
book's
show
do.
That you would have. You think Bookends is opening it up for me?
Yes. Yes, no. Absolutely. The guy who owns the store told you that you should write the book.
Right. Yeah, and that'll be the irony when he has no interest in Don coming in the store.
Michael
I wrote
K. Show
this because of you.
On 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Let's take a deeper dive into the Mets' incredible opening to their season. That's when we get back. Also want to hear your comments on it. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.